T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Such a beautiful tune, and if you've been basically locked up like I have in the house, I got a text from a buddy saying I think this is right up your alley. He was listening to a podcast and said you should check out this show, Tiger King, on Netflix, and once I started watching, I couldn't stop. I mean, there's just so many different directions this thing goes in, so I don't want to hesitate anymore because I'm so excited that Robert Moore could join us. And Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself, because you spent quite a bit of time with these guys, and I want to get out exactly what all you do, because you do a ton of different things. Welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much, man. So I am a writer and a reporter. I normally write books and magazine pieces. I wrote a book called On Trails, which you can get, but this is kind of a departure for me. I basically was sent down in 2015 by a big glossy magazine to go interview Joe Exotic. And so I went and spent a week living at his zoo. They gave me a trailer to sleep in, and I followed Joe around all day and night. And, you know, it's just supposed to be kind of a quirky magazine piece. But as we got closer and closer, I started to realize he started opening up to me about his obsession with this woman in Florida named Carol Baskin. And it, by the end of the week, it was very clear to me that he really hated her. I mean, he told me that he had an AR-15 set aside, and if his doctors ever gave him 6 months to live, because back then he was claiming he had cancer, he would go down to Florida and kill Carol Baskin. Like, one night he told me, he said, I never used to dream about seeing someone's brains on the wall. So I knew something was pretty intense was going on here, and then I went and interviewed Carol, and of course I discovered her whole backstory and the controversies around her husband who had disappeared. As you know, if you've seen the documentary, it is a long and convoluted, very dark and strange story. So I started working on it's a long, long road to basically getting this thing all out, but 4 years later, I released a podcast for Wondery, which is a 6-episode miniseries, and a very long article in New York Magazine all about the life and times of Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin.
I mean, I think it's the entire story. I was so into it, and I didn't want to turn it off, and after watching it, so you don't have to answer some of these things that I'm going to pose, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but to me, Carol Baskin came off worse than everyone else, which just sounds so strange because I don't believe anything she said. And I do believe, without having any, you know, any type of proof outside of what they've said and everything I've read, that she had something to do with her husband's death, even though nothing happened there. And then even hearing more about Doc, there's some strange stuff going on there as well. But what are your thoughts like when you were around them? Like, were you ever in fear or anything like that? Or was there anything interesting that you saw that threw you off a bit?
Let me see. Well, I was definitely in fear being at Joe's zoo because his employees had told me things that gave me pause. One of his former employees told me that he has a, quote, system set up down there for death. And what he meant was they would regularly butcher cows and horses that people donated. And he said, this employee told me he could have you killed, butchered, and fed out to the cats in 15 minutes. So anytime I went there, and I went there about 4 times, I think, I was pretty nervous because of that. Now, of course, when I was with Joe, he was telling me all about how he believed Carol had killed her husband and fed him to the cats. So when I finally did go to Big Cat Rescue for the first time, I was quite nervous about that as well. You know, in person, Carol and Howard are both very charming, friendly people. Carol especially can come off as a bit disingenuous at times. I think there are a lot of people who question whether she's always telling the truth. Howard is a very smart guy, went to Harvard Business School. He's a lawyer, so he's always very precise in what he says. I never caught him out in a lie. Whereas Carol, you know, she has a tendency to exaggerate. It's really hard to get a read on her. And a lot of people, though, she makes them question her veracity. I don't want to speculate about the disappearance of Don Lewis because that's that, you know, it's not good to speculate about a murder that's an open case like that. But the fact of that is, it's just a cold case. No one really knows what happened to Don.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. Again, joining us here, Robert Moore. And Robert spent some time with Joe Exotic. Now, there were a couple things from it that I thought were pretty insane. You know, we heard about Joe Exotic running for president, which, you know, that's not going to happen. He's not going to win. But I was kind of surprised that, knowing his background, being, I don't know if it's fair to call him a redneck, but he seems that way, but also a gay polygamist from Oklahoma, that he would get 19% of the vote running for governor. I was going, man, this is pretty crazy. But he is, I guess when you meet him, that there is something about him. People are kind of drawn to him, right?
Well, first of all, that was a little bit unclear in the documentary. He didn't get 19% of the overall vote. He got 19% of the primary to be the Libertarian candidate.
All right.
And in the general, the Libertarian candidate got 2% of the vote. So you can imagine how much Joe would have gotten.
Then that makes more sense. Because I'm going, I said, that's crazy that would happen. I even mentioned it to my wife going, I can't believe he got that high percentage of a vote. So.
But that being said, Joe was an incredibly charming guy when you're in his presence, and this is why he won so many people over. You know, he was also an incredibly narcissistic guy. He is an incredibly narcissistic guy, and so he needs that kind of attention. But people are often really disarmed by him, and even people who are homophobic, you know, who don't have any gay friends, Joe wins them over. He wins over everybody at first, but it's the longer you stay around him, that's where he starts to, the cracks start to show, and you find, I mean, he doesn't have a relationship with anyone in his family. He has very few close friends who stick by him because ultimately he betrays everyone.
Yeah, and you know, the sad part about all that too was at the end of the documentary, where you kind of see the beginning and what happens to Joe, but at the very end of it, they show Joe before he kind of became Joe Exotic, where it really was about the animals and saving them. And you know, he talks, even when he finally had to sell off his chimpanzees or move them somewhere else, he just felt guilty about all of it. So somewhere along the line, there was probably a halfway decent human being in there doing things for all the right reasons. And then the money came in and he started to see it and had visions of grandeur. And I guess you were near it more than I was. But
yeah, exactly.
It changed.
I mean, we go into greater detail about that in the podcast and the magazine article than they do in the documentary. But the story we tell is basically, you know, he was a kid, he grew up, and he was this gay kid growing up in Kansas and Texas and Wyoming, and, you know, he was bullied, and he turned to animals, and he really did love animals. And his first husband died. He contracted HIV and died right when Joe was first opening the zoo. And when you talk to people who were with him at that time, they say he really changed. They said that's when Joe Schreibvogel died and Joe Exotic was born. He suddenly had this obsession with fame and money and power that just grew and grew and grew. And he also began being attracted to guys that were not like, you know, his husband who died, Brian, was gay. The guys who followed were maybe bisexual at best, but most people say they were straight. They were just young, straight guys who Joe duped into being with him and you know, gave them money and gave them drugs and gave them whatever they wanted. And so his life just became about attention, basically, and it ate away at him. It really ate away at his humanity.
A couple other things to go over that I wanted to talk to you about. So your time's there, because not a lot of people come across all that well in the documentary. And I was talking to some friends today, and I'm going, you know what? There were a couple people that were working the zoo there. The guy, I'm blanking all the names, the guy with no legs that
John Rinke.
I don't know. I kind of, in watching it, I felt like that he really did care about the animals. He got in on some of the stuff with Joe Exotic when he was filming his video blogs, if you will, or his little show. And then some of the other zookeepers. Was there anybody that stood out to you that you thought maybe didn't come across well in the documentary that was a little bit better than perceived?
let me see. Yeah, John Rinke is generally a pretty good guy from what I experienced. You know, of course, you can only glean so much from an interview, yeah. But I haven't heard many bad things about him. And then the other person who I really feel bad for, and I think he did come across quite well, is Josh Dial, who is Joe's campaign manager. He was just a really smart, bright kid who got pulled in, and he kind of idolized Joe because Joe was this out and proud gay guy in rural Oklahoma, and Josh is gay as well, and that he didn't have many role models in the area growing up. And so he kind of looked up to Joe in a weird way, and he definitely wanted to get involved in politics, and just got himself wrapped up in something awful. And then, you know, just still to this day, I mean, I talked to him a couple of months ago and just has awful PTSD from watching Travis pass away. I mean, sorry, it's a spoiler alert, but,
yeah.
You know,
the eulogy was something else on the show. Yeah. I still can't get that out of my mind.
Yeah, do you notice also how his accent changes? It's something I find really curious about Joe is during that eulogy, he starts putting on this different accent. He would often do that in different crowds, and I think part of the reason was because there were all these bikers. He started hanging out with all these biker gangs at that time. So he's putting on this really macho kind of Texas drawl that he didn't normally have. He is an enigma, man.
Hey, Robert, it's so funny you say that. So I had a guest on earlier. A friend of mine does another radio show in town. And I'm the one that told him, that, like, hey, you should really go watch this. I don't want to say I'm the first person, but I'm like, hey, check it out. And then he power watched it. He had so many questions tonight. And I said, because I'm one of these guys here, and you may have heard the clip coming in, I do different voices. So you can kind of hear things in people's tones. And I said, I just felt like depending on what type of mood Joe was in, his accent kept changing all over the place. Which is why when we started talking about some of the songs, I said, I don't think he's singing any of this. There's no way. And then I saw one of your posts saying, no, he wasn't singing any of those songs.
No, yeah, he was not. And in fact, I found that fact out because he stiffed one of the two singer-songwriters, a guy named Vince Johnson. He didn't pay him for some of the songs, effectively stole one of his songs. And so Vince, who I had reached out to earlier, I'd heard a rumor that he was a singer. He called me up and spilled the beans on how Joe had not written or sang any of those songs. In fact, some people told me Joe can't even sing Happy Birthday. He has a truly terrible singing voice. He insisted up and down, and to this day insists that he sang those songs.
Well, one other, we're talking to Robert Moore, and Robert, we'll let you plug everything again. Author, I mean, podcast that he has, he's so many things going on. One other person I wanted to bring up that I found intriguing because I didn't realize it until I read one of your tweets about it was Saf, because, you know, even on the show they were saying he, and I'm going, I thought that was a girl, but then she identifies as trans, right?
Yes, yeah, so Saf is a trans man. The tricky thing is that when the accident took place, the news, everybody was referring to Saf as with Saf's given name, which is Kelsey Saffery. So and referring to Saf as she. So there's a lot of confusion about that, and of course, people in rural Oklahoma in general and Joe Exotic in particular are not particularly sensitive to trans rights, yeah, to trans issues. So they would often refer to Saf as she. But Saf identifies as male and prefers to be referred to simply as Saf, not as Kelsey, and to use he pronouns.
Well, one of the things we were really curious about was why he came back so quickly and just decided to have the arm amputated. I mean, could that be saying that Joe Exotic maybe had a spell over him, or he didn't want anything? I mean, it just feels weird to see that.
So Saf was in the military before Saf went to work at the zoo, and I think he had a real sense of duty and purpose working there. I think that there was a hole in his life that when he left the military, and he filled it with the zoo, and so he had a really zealous devotion to that place. And so that accident, you know, he told me hurt him not just because obviously he lost his arm, but also because he hurt the zoo and he hurt Joe's reputation. And that was almost the thing that, you know, one of the things Saf told me was when it happened, his first concern was to not make too much noise so that the customers wouldn't find out and he wouldn't get Joe in trouble. I mean, can you imagine? His arm had just been ripped to shreds, and that was what he was thinking about.
It's incredible, man. The whole story, there's so many layers, there's so many interesting things that I would urge people to go check it out. But more importantly, tell everybody where they can find your podcast and some of the other things you have going on, because I could sit here and talk to you for another hour about all this. That's how intrigued I am by the story.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Robert Moore. You can find me on Twitter, Robert Moore, MOOR_. And that there you can find a whole thread of things that I've written about this story, all the little pieces that were left out of the documentary. There's so many interesting details. You can also find my book on Amazon or wherever. It's called On Trails, and you can find the podcast through Wondery. It's now called Joe Exotic : Tiger King. And the episodes should be dropping. There's 6 episodes in total. They should be dropping once every few days all week long.
I'll definitely be checking it out, and I've retweeted a bunch of Joe's stuff, so you can find him on my Twitter page as well. So, hey, appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you got some other shows you're going to be doing. I've already talked to a few people. I know you're going to make your rounds, but really appreciate you spending some time with us.
All right. Thank you so much. This was fun.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.